Every hip-hop music fan has an origin story. When the music ignited those first sparks, grabbing us, shaking us, initiating a lifelong relationship. Growing up in the suburbs of Los Angeles during the late 1980s, I was too young to appreciate the rebellious explosion of N.W.A., a group that opened millions to the possibilities of the genre. The group's lyrics did not lend themselves to frequent radio play, and my parents didn't openly invite that hoppity hip into our home. I was plugged in enough to applaud Dr. Dre when The Chronic landed, but could not yet truly appreciate the full evolution of his sonic mastery. Doggy Style, Snoop Doggy Dogg's debut album, painted the scenes of an elaborate party that my adolescent mind could only partly imagine. Instead, for me, the artist who truly stoked those early embers was Tupac Amaru Shakur. As he did for so many people my age, Pac ignited in me a full devotion to hip-hop music. This was back in the days when the music found you. Long before Spotify and iTunes, I would toggle the radio dial between 92.3, The Beat, and Power 106, and record Shakur's songs onto a cassette tape so I could play them back on demand. I got my hands on Me Against the World, Shakur's third album, when a teenage employee at Circuit City took pity on my pleading 11-year-old self. My mom unearthed the cassette, took one look at the parental advisory sticker, and marched me back to return it. I discreetly purchased another one, vowing to find a better hiding place. Such was the power and pull of Pac on my young mind. Pac gifted me a song or lyric for every emotion and feeling. He had a way of making it seem as though he was speaking directly to me, crystallizing thoughts and ideas that were only starting to percolate and form. Brenda's Got a Baby illuminated the structural inequities in the world that I sensed people like me faced, but were not being taught in school. Dear Mama existed for when I reflected over my mom and witnessed her trudge through setbacks. I reserved Hit 'Em Up for those rare and insular moments I wanted to give the world double birds. Tupac's killing in late 1996 shattered my world. I mourned the death of an artist and poet who transcended his still young musical genre. I had come to view hip-hop music as a foundational block in my own life and wondered if it would continue evolving, emerging, and influencing after the loss of one of its brightest stars. The deaths of Shakur and other talented artists gunned down in their prime, like the notorious B.I.G., were colossal losses. But hip-hop music, above almost anything else, is resilient. The genre's original bricklayers in the Bronx of the 1970s heeded their own flickers of imagination to ignite a musical genre out of decay and neglect. The genre persevered, overcoming every obstacle imaginable, from an older generation who rejected it, to radio stations that did not want to play it, to politicians speaking out against it. I never found another Pac. But in the genre, I found a constant ally. I turned to hip-hop music when I needed inspiration or motivation, to zone out or home in during times of celebration and mourning, for education and enlightenment. Hip-hop music has now existed for almost half a century, and its origins and evolution are finally beginning to be studied and excavated with the rigor they deserve. But the voices of those who created, innovated, and persevered to propel a musical genre that would one day become the most popular in the United States are still seldom heard from, and some of their stories are at risk of being forever lost. That realization, which I had in 2017, became the catalyst for this project. After publishing my oral history of the groundbreaking TV show, The Wire, I aimed my next oral history project at a far more ambitious subject: hip-hop's rise and the creative sparks behind its first transcendent moments. Lyricism, after all, is a form of oral tradition.